Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 208.
I remember one day when I was 14 and staying at a camp. Some of my friends and I had been at the camp director's house watching a very scary movie at midnight. Even 30-odd years later, this is still one of the scariest movies that I've ever seen. When the movie was over, I had to walk back to my cabin through the woods, alone. This was the same woods that I walked through 8 times a day with no fear or worry. In the dark of night, with visions of creatures hiding behind every tree, I walked slowly toward the cabin. Every molecule of my body was tense and ready to fight or flee at a nanosecond's notice. I made it to the cabin without being eaten by anything ugly, and the next day was able to walk that same path without a bit of fear. This is what our imagination can do to us, cause us to worry about something that we are only afraid will happen, may happen, not something that is actually happening. Not only does the Lord understand when we are afraid, because He has ordained all things, the circumstances that are the root of our fear are in His complete control. Shouldn't that bring comfort? What about during times of a pandemic, when an unknown illness is a daily possibility? Is fear sin? And if it is, what should we do about it? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Terullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. With me today, of course, is Rob McKenzie. Rob is an elder here at Westminster as well. He's also a master's student at Reform Theological Seminary in Orlando. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I am just fine. You made it through the gauntlet with Tippy.
Yeah, it's true.
That's good. Really did that bring you any reminiscences to
of being attacked by creatures?
I had a few questions here. Okay. You said you weren't eaten by anything ugly.
No, it's true.
What, were you eaten by anything else?
I was not.
Okay, good.
But I was worried about being attacked and killed by certain creatures.
Yes.
I wasn't on the lookout for, beautiful creatures. I wasn't worried about a unicorn coming out
or fairies or anything like that. But
glitter on me or anything. Yes.
The scariest movie you have ever seen. And you're not mentioning it. You're just...
Well, because I was told when I was in homiletics class that mm-hmm. if you mention a movie that you aren't sure people should see...
Yeah, you should mention it then.
I can mention it since I think our listeners
it's not a sermon or
mostly
anything.
Adults. Yeah. It was Children of the Corn.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I did not see much of that.
Oh, my goodness. So it was basically demonic children that that I was hoping would not come out and kill me.
Oh, I remember that. I did not see the whole thing, I don't think.
Still.
I would not. I don't like those movies at all.
Well, I can't remember. We had watched something before that was just a regular, remember what it was, but it was something fun. And then it's like, hey, you want to watch Children of the Corn?
Was this your Christian camp?
It was a Christian camp.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And not only that, if you like this, it was, now understand, okay,
I'm not
that old. I mean, we did, I mean, at the time, I mean, back home, I did have a VCR.
Yeah.
A VCR, but we watched it on Laserdisc, which was really cool.
Was it really crisp, or was it just the same?
It was scary, is what it was.
The only thing I remember about that is I think sickles and cornfields.
Yeah,
and cornfields just from that point on.
Oh, I know.
They're just look. You're like, what's in there?
Yeah, and I never heard of the movie or anything. It's just all of a sudden, and then it's like, okay, now I get to walk back to my cabin.
Yes, yes.
I can still kind of feel like every hair in my body standing up as I walked through the gloom of the mid. You know, it was about 1:30 in the morning.
Like you said, but it was a familiar place because you'd been there.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, several times a day you'd walk through there.
Yeah.
It was a common familiar area. You probably even knew where not to step in order not to trip over stuff. Yeah. But yet at the same time, because of the imagination that comes and the
every
thinking,
shadow that moved, every tree leaf that shook, my head was on a swivel.
Yeah. So were you having a hard time at that point saying, "The Lord is with me," right?
Yeah.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are with me. You know, you're not saying that kind of thing at that moment.
And the thing was, it wasn't. Actually, I joke about ugly things coming out to get me.
Yeah,
it's not like I was actually worried about demonic children coming out to get me. It was, I just was waiting for something to jump out. If it had been a unicorn that jumped out,
it would have scared you.
It would have scared me. I would not have been stuck around to pet it.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't even come back from that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, come on. You wouldn't want to pet a unicorn? Come on.
I don't know what I would want to do with a unicorn. Look at it from a distance, probably.
Just a horse with a horn.
Well, I thought unicorns were rhinoceroses.
Yeah. No, they're not. Those are different creatures. Oh. You do not want to pet a rhinoceros.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Sorry.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Have you never seen a like white unicorn or a white rhinoceros? Sorry.
I have.
Yes.
Yes, I have. And I did not mistake it for a unicorn.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just being a little bit idiotic here.
Well, I can understand. I can understand because you're always, you're a very important individual. I mean,
what?
You're sitting here, you've got three phones, you've got three cell phones.
Oh, in front of me, yes.
Wondering,
yes.
He carries three cell phones.
No, right? now you're speaking inaccuracies on purpose. I explained to you what they are, and here you are lying to our audience. I apologize for the misbehavior of this man.
So going as I was walking through.
So what are we talking about?
As I walked through these woods, and yeah, it was, you know, there's. I think we should say at the beginning, there is a difference between fearing of the unknown or of things in life and like fight or flight. And if something actually had jumped out at me, and my initial, the adrenaline rush of panic would have jumped
fear.
Out. And fear. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with, that is kind of a God-given instinct of protection.
To keep us safe, yeah.
So that's not the kind of fear that we're talking about, although we are talking about the kind of fear of the unknown. I mean, Scripture is telling us, look, fear is not what God gives us, right? I mean, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about the fruits of the spirits, and one of the, we weren't going to actually get to fear, it's just my story captivated you. We're going to get to fear later, but
we'll get there.
It's the fruit of the spirit. One of that is peace.
Peace, right.
And so when I'm walking back to my, I did not have peace at that time as I was walking back. But there are daily events that happen in our lives or worries or fears. I mean, we can start to stretch it out that people will get up in the morning. Well, and going back to another movie, what about Bob? Which
Thanks.
Is just a fantastic movie. I know. What about Bob?
Yeah. I didn't hear that ever.
No, I bet not.
Ever when that movie was out.
When you first came here, hadn't you not seen it?
No, I'd seen it.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's one I hadn't seen in a while, and I don't know if I it's yeah. Anyway.
So yeah. So Bob's sitting in the office saying, "You know, well, what if I can't find a bathroom? My bladder explodes. You know, what if my heart stops? What if?" I mean, he's bringing up all these irrational fears.
But why are they irrational?
They're irrational because that doesn't normally happen.
That's not a part of common existence.
Right. Obviously, there's an exaggeration in the movie.
Yeah, of course.
That. But how often do we, because we don't understand something or we're dreading, we get that dread within us of something that could happen in life. And I think parents probably feel this about their children, that, you know, what if my child doesn't learn a certain way or doesn't understand something, or what if they don't get into college, or what if they,
you know, I mean, always, even, I mean, what you're saying right there is, when a child develops more slowly than others, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of comparing that parents do when they're, you know, when their kids are growing mm-hmm. up, and you say, oh, they're not reading yet, or they're not walking yet, or they're crawling weirdly, or, you know, and they start to worry about lots of different things. They go to a pediatrician, fine. No. Kids do this at all different, you know, right. Anyway. Right. And you think about those things and you start worrying about worst case scenarios. Mm. Yeah. And what you're doing is worrying about that which you can't control, mm-hmm. right? And so, and that takes your peace away, right? I mean, trying to get back to peace here, just for right. a moment. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. One of them is peace. I mean, these are a Spirit-born mm-hmm. thing that comes. And here I think we're referring to a subjective peace, because we can talk about peace in a couple of different ways. There's an objective peace that comes to us, say, as Romans 5 tells us, right, that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that is a objective peace. That is, the meaning is a reconciliation between God and man, right?
Right.
All Christians have that peace. That cannot be taken away, right? But there is a subjective peace, an inward peace that we experience. We feel that aspect of peace, where it's kind of like a settledness, and you experience harmony within, you know, your family, let's just say, between a husband and wife. There is a reconciling between each other at a horizontal level that gives you a peace, which at one level is objective as well, but there's a sense of, I trust this peace. We are at peace with one another. You know, you and I are right now at peace with each other. We're not warring. We're not fighting. We're not angry with each other. We are at peace. Yeah. And that's what we would like there to be among all Christians, right, at all times. And one day there will be. Praise God, right?
But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't look for that now.
No, of course not. Yeah. Of course not. We should look for it now. And when it is not there, we should seek to rectify it, right? That's the point. We should seek to rectify when we are not reconciled with one another. That's why we, you know, and not just with Christians, we are meant to seek that with all men as much as it is possible for us, right? To be at peace with all men. So we are meant to have that harmonious relationship with all mankind as much as it is up to us, and especially with other believers and within, you know, various different contexts, especially with your wife, especially with your children, especially with your, you know, various levels of relationships and so on and so forth. But when you're out of sync with that peace, when that peace is not there, it can be for a variety of reasons. It could be sin, in the sense of there was a sinful action done toward you, or you are the one who is doing the sinful action toward others. And an unwillingness to come together, an unwillingness to forgive as God has forgiven you, mm-hmm. An unwillingness to be humbled before and acknowledge the fact that you might be wrong. Or for the other person to do likewise. So there's a variety of different reasons why one might not be at peace. Mm-hmm. But I think in the context of Galatians, it's very, very good to recognize how Paul speaks about it as a fruit of the Spirit,
yes.
right?
Yes,
that this is something that is Spirit-born, mm-hmm. this peace that we can have with one another, because that's a binding of the Holy Spirit that we have with one another, that God has given to all of his people. And so for us to maintain that peace, right, to urge it, to seek it, Ephesians talks about that unity that we are meant to have, which I think is also built upon, brings peace among us. So that's Spirit-born, so you want to attend to the things where God imparts his Spirit.
Right, and how that practically plays out is you have a quarrel with someone, mm-hmm. especially a fellow Christian, and it's okay, you know what? What do I need to do now to mend this relationship? Well, what we need to remember is that because you have the Holy Spirit, that peace is already within you.
Yes.
And so it's not as if you say, well, I'm not a peaceful person. Well, okay, you might struggle with this. That's very true. We all have weaknesses and strengths, but it's not as if you are devoid of the ability. Mm-hmm. You have it because it's been Spirit born. And we should, if everybody stopped, especially within the church, if we're having a quarrel with someone, and we were to stop and think, how can I be true to the God-given peace that comes from the Holy Spirit in this relationship? Those confrontations would be over with a lot quicker we'd have much more harmony within the church and more humility. It's easy for me to say that sitting here when I'm not in the middle of a quarrel with somebody.
When we're in the middle of a quarrel with someone, our temperatures rise, as we might say. We feel the heat. And
we want to get our point across. And we, you know, but they don't let me talk. Well, they might not. That's true. And we should have civil discourse with each other. And part of the reason why we've even entered in this series is because of what's going on in our society, especially with the pandemic and how that there are many different views within the church. You take a church that might be have great harmony and theologically are on the same page, and then the pandemic comes and you have six different factions of people with understanding of how to deal with it, and it becomes contentious.
Yeah, and even the language you just use of factions, I would want to like say that better not be, right? I would strongly urge there not to be factions within a church with regard to this. Not at all, not at all. I would say there can be different opinions on it, right? And some may be more informed than other opinions. And some people might be more convinced of it than others. Some people might be on the fence, not exactly sure what to say. Like I've, you know, said on various occasions, I'm not qualified to speak authoritatively on these various things. I might have an opinion.
Right, but you have an opinion.
I still have an opinion.
An informed opinion.
An informed, yes. But not one I want to display authoritatively. If you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, I knew. I know what
but
you
I mean.
But
I mean that by thus saith the Lord, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and I, you know, I said factions. The problem is that this is so contentious. I think this has been so contentious that factions are more the norm than, I mean, it's almost a more descriptive term. Better.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I haven't, let me just say this. I haven't seen that. And if I hope that's not the case.
Maybe I'm using it in a stronger way, or I'm looking at it a little differently. But
maybe
I think within the church that this has been a danger all this time during the pandemic.
Well, and the church is always in danger of falling apart,
right?
Because of our sin. What it is not in danger of is dying. The church, right? The Church of Jesus Christ. It will always be.
A congregation might be, though.
A congregation might go away. I mean, there's no congregation of Ephesus anymore, right? I mean, there's no congregation of the Thessalonians anymore. Sorry. Churches go away. Congregations go away. They rise up. They go away. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will continue on this earth and spreading and building churches throughout the world until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to bring his one body together. So that I'm in no doubt of. But we are always, that's why there's always these strivings in Paul and his writings to be at unity. Now, then in the first century, it was primarily the issue was Jew and Gentile, right? Because these people of two different factions, right? Of the world, right? It was Jews and it was everybody else. Yeah, and now they're, Jews are told you got to be together with them. And there's obviously a little disagreement with that. And Paul's saying, no. You know, the Spirit, the same Spirit born both of you, you're just human beings, and now you need to be on the same page about these things. And there's trouble with that. And we're, you know, have the similar issues, not necessarily with regard to Jew and Gentile, but with regard to different ideas and the things going on in the world around us a lot of times.
Yeah. And Matthew Henry talks about what's specifically being spoken of by Paul in Galatians, that this peace that we're given is a peace with God, it's a peace with others. It's also a piece of conscience, and that's where you were talking about with sin, that we, you know, in one sense, the Spirit also brings this peace, inward peace, for ourselves, that we understand that although we are sinners, Christ has died for us, and we are in repentance. If we are in repentance of our sin, that should bring an internal peace, and that's a danger for Christians, especially the more sensitive you are with your conscience, this can be something that really drags you down is when you're thinking, well, you know, look at the evil that I've caused. Look at the sin. Look at the, but you look at them and say, well, have you repented of your sin? Yes, I've repented of my sin. Well, then there should be a peace, an inward peace, even amongst yourself. And I think that's hard for people to handle sometimes.
Well, it is.
Even more than with others.
No, yeah, I get the sense. Our soul ends up being in turmoil, right, over the wrongs we have done.
Right.
under constant attack. That's the feeling, mm-hmm. I think. Our catechism addresses this in part. One of the catechism questions, number 36, is what are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, or sanctification, right? So, which is essentially saying, what are the benefits of being united with Jesus Christ, right? What are the benefits of being united with him, right? He's the one that we have peace with. That's what I said earlier, Romans 5, 1. We have peace with him. And you were mentioning this earlier in a different, in a slightly different way. And it's that peace that we have with God that is then meant to, because we are now united in him, we have the Holy Spirit within us, there's the peace that comes to us that then is meant to flow out of us, just like our love flows out of that union with Jesus Christ. It's nothing within us. It's meaning innately, it's now the Holy Spirit's work at work within us that forms this peace because we're united to the Prince of Peace, right? Mm-hmm. The Prince of Peace. Now, the answer to that question, essentially, of what are the benefits in this life, meaning now, here and now, that's a distinction that the catechism makes. What happens in this life, the benefits which in this life that accompany or flow from justification, adoption, or sanctification, being united to Jesus Christ, our assurance of God's love, right? There's that unique to Protestantism compared to Catholicism. There's assurance of God's love, assurance of forgiveness, assurance of grace. Peace of conscience. That's what you're talking about now. Joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace and perseverance there unto the end. So the fact that we are united to Christ, that Jesus has justified us, God has justified us in Jesus Christ, God has adopted us as sons, that we are sanctified and being sanctified, these things are meant to bring us a sense of peace of conscience, right? And it's only as we attend unto these things by faith that these things happen, right? There's an aspect of something we have to do. Now, that's not working to get our salvation, but there's something we aren't just saved, and I mentioned this in the sermon just this Sunday. We aren't just saved and we just let you know, all right, go on my merry way. That's not how Christianity works. We are saved by God and brought into a community of God. And in that community of God, there's where God works in his spirit. And there are things about that community, the church, that we attend to: Lord's Supper, scripture reading, prayer, all of these things. And if we don't attend to those things, things like peace of conscience, assurance of God's love, joy in the Holy Spirit, these things will not increase. They will not be a something that regularly is a part of your life as a Christian, unless you are someone who reads God's word so that his spirit will work in you, right? I mean, if you're a Christian, his spirit's working in you. Right. But there are times when we won't do the things we need to do to nourish the life we have in Christ. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It's like being
absolutely
a part of a vine. Yeah.
We know that we have to be faithful in our upon the means of grace in order that the Holy Spirit might continue his sanctifying work within us. That sanctifying work does come from God, but we've been told to be obedient. And through that, we receive grace. Through that, we receive sanctification. We've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. This is not a one-time given thing. Just as the Holy Spirit baptizes us once but fills us many times, the fruit of the Spirit is something that can grow within us, and through lack of our own spiritual care, will wane within us. You know, we talk about people that struggle with having that mm-hmm. peaceful relationship with people. Well, people are different, and mm-hmm. they have different personalities, and so therefore, even with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they might struggle in that area. But if they are also not attaining to the things of God. Attending to things of God, then it's going to be much harder for them to maintain a peaceful relationship with people or to experience the other fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Because it's being squelched within them. And we need to understand that's work. You know, I mean, there's a joy in serving Christ. There's a joy in serving the Lord. But, you know, if you're, especially if you're somebody that grows up in the church mm-hmm. and you've been day in, day out, or you know, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, eventually it's easy for something to become mundane or just, you know, passe or, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, I've done this. I do the same kinds of things. And I don't really have the same spiritual excitement that I at one time I
right.
had. Well, I understand it. That's human. That's very human, but you still have to continue Right. You're still commanded. You're never told, well, that's enough. You've put in your quota. You're good.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, it's like, you know, well, I've eaten before. I think I'll stop eating.
Right.
You know, I've done that before. It's as though we think that that it's just a one-time deal, right? And even you know, we eat, but we have good meals and we have bad meals, yeah. Right? We have nourishing meals and we have unnourishing meals.
Yeah.
But we still need to eat and drink to be healthy. And the same goes with God, attending to God's things that he's given us, the bread, the meat of the scriptures. I mean, sometimes some portions of God's word, when depending on where we are and our day-to-day lives, just are either boring or they're hard to get through, and we struggle just to actually pick up God's word and do it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you said sometimes these things are hard work, right? You're absolutely right. I mean, look at the how Jesus addresses the disciples throughout the Gospels when he goes off to prayer and he commands them, he asks them to pray, and you know they're falling asleep and struggling with it, and it's not easy to stay in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to maintain a solid prayer life, a meaningful one. Because, you know, we can get into a rote kind of, you know, we say the daily thing, we say the same prayer every morning, we pray for the same things every morning or over every meal or whatever the case might be. We have, you know, to a certain extent where, you know, you have a vivid imagination at 8 years old or whatever it was when you were, you know, running through the field, you know, or not the field,
14,
I'm glad it was 14. That's better than 8. When you're walking through the woods, you have a vivid imagination. But when we're, you know, praying, our imagination and just goes away. And, you know, about the things we need to pray for, we become lackluster. We
can't remember what to pray for.
Yeah, I can't remember. Can't even think beyond, you know, our nose. And it doesn't need to be that way. If we would cultivate those things, and there are books to help with that. Sure. There's, you know, teaching ministries that help with that. There are teachers that can help with that.
Yeah.
Your pastors can help with that. How to cultivate prayer, how to cultivate your Bible reading, you know, how to cultivate a good Christian life of discipline. There are, you know, books about that as well, in right. order to spur on these things in your life.
You know, we had talked about, we kind of began it, you brought up the story again when I'm going through the woods. And we were talking about the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, but, and I've been contrasting it kind of with fear. I think often people think of fear being the opposite of peace. What actually is fear? What is it? Where does it come from? I made the distinction between, you're walking down the street and somebody jumps out at you. And you get that adrenaline rush and that, you know, the fight or flight. That's not what we're talking about. It's something very different. Although it's hard not to see them as the same. You know, that, like you said, it was kind of a panic.
Yeah,
it's different than fearing of, you know, I'm fearing that something's going to happen. Or
I'm not sure if I'm capable of making all the distinctions that
maybe
are there.
Dread,
right?
is a good word.
I mean, there's a reverent fear we hear about in the scriptures, right?
Sure.
And that's not what we're talking about, right? Because a reverent fear is what we are told to have, that and awe of God, right? An appropriate reverence and fear of God. That's not this fear, especially when we're getting to passages like 2 Timothy 1:7, where we're told that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. So if he hasn't given us a spirit of fear in that sense, right, meaning that we're not meant to have fear as he's referring to it there, then obviously that's a different kind of fear.
You're talking about Timothy there.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 1:7.
Paul's writing to Timothy and he's saying, basically, Paul has been put in jail, and it seems that Timothy is afraid that he's going to be put in jail, to the point where he's Paul talks about him weeping or him crying. You know, that there is tears is what he's talking about, and you know, he says, "Look, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear; he's given us the spirit of peace." So Timothy, who is either he's worried about Paul and what might happen to him, or he's worried about him ending up like Paul, or both, and probably a combination of both.
Yeah. Let me just read the passage as a whole, because the context is, I think, I mean, with regard to Timothy himself, that is helpful. So it, the beginning, most have it at verse 3, 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the spirit of, or the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then it goes on a little bit more there. But that's where you get that ended at 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, just briefly looking at this and a few commentaries as we were considering talking about the topic and the spirit of fear, right? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of different ways of understanding what we have going on here. Now, some in the Pentecostal charismatic side of things, this is an actual spirit, a demon of some sort, right? Yeah. So we're not talking about that at the moment. That's not, I don't think this is another spiritual entity that is coming in and doing this. It can be, so the two primary ways that Reformed folk have understood this is that that spirit is sort of like an attitude, attitudinal fear. But the other is that this should actually be a capital S. That the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power and love and self-control. And the reasoning is, for that is, if you go down to the end of the section in verse 14, he refers then to the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And he's referring just prior to this to the gift of God that was laid upon you and that through the laying on of hands. And that, you know, that's not specifically the Spirit, but it's the gift that comes through the Spirit. Yeah. And so I do think it's appropriate, and I'm inclined at this point, not having done a great deal of study on it, but I'm inclined at this point to take that view of it being the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I appreciated reading just briefly about this, because I had always kind of struggled, you know, because of having a little bit of charismatic in my background, of wondering, you know, what this Spirit is. Is this a spirit, like, you know, that is out there, you know, coming into Christians. No.
Principalities, powers, and darkness.
But I don't think Christians can have other spirits dwelling in them other than the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Praise God. and so here he's saying, you know, God gave us a Holy Spirit, not of fear. Mm-hmm. Right? The Holy Spirit does not have fear, but the Holy Spirit has power, love, and self-control. And those things, power, love, and self-control, I think, are meant to counter fear, right? And this is what the Holy Spirit is powerful. So, all right. So there's power. There's a sense of the ability to wipe away fear, right? There's love. There's a sense of love in contrast to fear. And then there's this self-control, right? He's like, get a handle on yourself, man, right? Because sometimes our fear is just pure irrational.
Right.
It's purely irrational. I know someone very close to me when the cicadas were all about, right? Earlier in the summer.
Right.
And this person would not want to walk down the street because of the cicadas that were on the ground. And that person said, I know it is irrational, but I am scared of them. The sound that they make,
for those of you who don't know, cicadas are basically locusts that pop out of the ground.
And they go on the trees and then they make these loud sounds and then they're on trees and then they're on the ground and then where there's a lot of them around.
The buzzing, it really is loud too.
Oh, very much so. And this is not a phenomenon I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. I've been here now about 8 years and it's still new to me. It wasn't in Connecticut. Okay. It wasn't in New York. So it's still new. And then they come out in these cycles, and then I think this wasn't it, but there's a big cycle coming soon, right?
Yeah.
But they were still on the ground, and you can, you know, accidentally step on them, and they fly in your face if you accidentally, you know, brush up against them accidentally. Anyway, this person knew it was irrational.
Yeah.
Because they knew that it wasn't going to, this person knew that it wasn't going to hurt them or do anything like that. But it was just, I don't like them and I'm fearful of them. That was the language. Mm-hmm. And so they're irrational fears, kind of like you going through the woods. I know right. that this is irrational. Yeah. Or, you know, not so much lately, but I used to get on a flight and I'm just, you know, grabbing hold of the sides. I know that is actually safer to fly than it is to drive. Yeah. But, you know, the trembling, the, you know, going up 30, it's a little bit of fear there. It's irrational because I know otherwise. So there's that sense where get a hold of yourself, man. You know? Have some self-control. But the self-control is not pull yourself up by the bootstrap self-control. You know, get a hold of yourself. That's the wrong attitude. I mean, you might need a smack in the face every now and then. Rah! You know, just to wake up and get out of your sort of weird attitude. But self-control is also born of the spirit. It's another fruit.
Right.
It's another fruit of the spirit. And peace can come with that self-control. Moving you, driving you away from fear. I think, you know, the fruit of the spirit is all connected.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah. These things, can't take one without the other.
You can't, absolutely. Yeah, these things all move and are intertwined. Yeah. And that self-control that Paul is talking about there with regard to this, you know, not having a spirit of fear, not having the Holy, because you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit forms self-control within you about your thinking, about your behavior, all sorts of things. You're just wanting to say something. Go ahead. And I need to stop.
Well, you know, Timothy here is a great example of somebody that is, we were talking about irrationally feared. Well, sometimes we think of things that are irrational as things that are ridiculous. And that's mm-hmm. not what he's talking about here.
No, and I don't think it's irrational either.
No, right, yeah. right. But it's that in the sense that fear of the unknown, of what could happen, is something that we're all prone to.
Mm-hmm.
And when we allow it to take over and control us, you know, we talk about what is the Spirit given us? Control. But when we allow the fear to be what controls us, then we are no longer living our lives being controlled by the Spirit. And I would agree that this is, that actually it should be a capital S, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But even if it's not, if it's just talking about our spirit, it's still our spirit having been affected by the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So it's all connected as well. And so today, with this pandemic that we've had, with the unrest in the streets, I think a lot of people, me included, are more in tune with listening to the daily news a little bit, even if it's just a recap. I don't watch for hours in the news, but I will listen to recaps and throughout the day, the 5 minute, like what's going on in the world. And I think that hearing the negativity of the news, which it often is, can take us to the place where we are more in tune with our fearful thoughts than with the, wait a minute, God is in control of all this.
Yeah.
God is sovereign. He has ordained all things. I will trust in him. Mm-hmm. And I will not allow, and this is what Paul is telling Timothy not to do, don't allow the fear to overtake you. Mm-hmm. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us what? Self-control, peace. Mm-hmm. He's given us peace. And you're not allowing the peace that God has given you to be what is controlling you. You're allowing the fear of the unknown, of what could happen, or even fear of what I know is about to happen. Even that is still you're not trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that these circumstances might not be horrible or devastating. When people had to be taken, when they were being dragged to the lions, it's the same situation. God has still given them the spirit of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And they are to be, what? Trusting in God, even up until the end. And it's interesting that we go back and we can look at the reports of the in the Colosseums when during the heightened times of persecution, when Christians were being hauled off to go to the lions, that the people actually got tired of it and would boo, and they got bored with the Christians because they would come, and whether it was lions or gladiators or whatever was being sent in to kill them, and the Christians would come and they would kneel, and they would just allow themselves to be eaten.
It wasn't much of a show.
No, right. Yeah. And the people got tired of it. But that's what God has called us to do. And we know that even though we die, we are with our Lord.
Yet shall we
live. There's an eternal life waiting for us that makes this life seem really, really short.
Yeah, and we forget that, and we tend to make things that are temporary ultimate in our life. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that just as much as the next guy with regard to, living this life and thinking, okay, so I think given the things you've referenced a pandemic, you've referenced the civil unrest, and a lot of people think, probably as I've heard and probably similar to me in various degrees, of course, while I fear what's happening to our country, right? I fear what tomorrow looks like for not only me, but my children. Mm-hmm. I fear what kind of life Christians will have in this nation, right? There's lots of, more generally, I fear what's happening to our persecuted brothers and sisters, where it's even worse, of course. And that fear, to a certain extent, I think, is something that Paul is addressing to Timothy. So I might be afraid for others, say, legitimately.
Right. Yes.
But then I hear Paul saying, I remind you, through the laying of hands, mm-hmm. for God gave us a spirit not of fear. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid for the one being persecuted. Mm-hmm. Don't fear what's going to happen to them. God's in control, mm-hmm. right? Don't fear what's going to happen to you. Now, it might be scary, right? Yeah. Flames are scary. Mm-hmm. Lions can be scary. Absolutely. These things are scary. But don't fear the death. Don't fear these things, because God has given you the spirit of power and love and self-control. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on, and I think this is helpful. I didn't read this part, but I want to finish reading, not finish the book, of course, but 2 Timothy 1 continues after the section on self-control. He says, therefore, referring to Timothy again and the work that he's doing, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Right. What a wonderful continuation of what he's talking about, this Timothy having this a fear of some sort, whether for Paul or whether for himself or whether for the congregation that he serves, maybe all three. And he's saying, listen, I'm suffering. This is why. Your Savior suffered, and this is why. And you know what? You're going to share in the suffering too. And this is why. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Who saved us and called us to a holy calling. And this is a part of it. And maybe, maybe for a long time, American evangelicalism, the church has been very safe and very, maybe a bit complacent in its Christianity. yet these reports of the stats of American evangelicalism, Ligonier just came out with some new ones, and Lifeway some new ones, and the things that evangelicals are believing these days is very, very much not the gospel.
Yeah, they're no longer actually evangelicals.
Yeah, I mean, when means good news, and the good news is no longer what you read in the Bible, then Christianity is no longer the Christianity of the Scriptures. And it's very sad to read things like that, that Christianity is becoming much, much smaller percentage of the people of these United States that we live in. And to a certain extent, God is giving people over to that which they are desiring, in the Romans 1 sense, giving them over to their sins.
Yes.
And
even within evangelicalism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we reap what we sow.
Right. You had talked a little bit ago about fear for your children, fear for the
Yeah, fear for the future.
I think that you know, we need to be careful, not necessarily you. I'm just saying that people listening and how we think about this subject. If you are concerned for someone, like you have a love for them, you want to see the best for them, and that is but you're relying on God. I trust on God that my children will be looked after. God will look after my children. Mm-hmm. God will look after those. But you're still you don't want to see Christians persecuted.
No, of course not.
And so often we use language interchangeably, especially in English, and we'll talk about fear and concern in the same sentence, but they can be used differently. The fear that is sinful is the fear that doesn't trust in, or the concern that doesn't trust in God, the worry that doesn't trust in God. When, again, we're talking about this pandemic, when we are overcome with it being afraid, or we just worry about what's happening with the pandemic, we're not trusting God. And that's when it's wrong. If we want to be concerned about a virus that is highly contagious, if we want to be concerned I want to protect my family, or I want to, or I think those, you know, then we get to the other side. It's, well, the steps that we're taking in this are too much. So we can talk about how to handle a situation, and we can disagree on how to, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But when we get to the place where we're not trusting in God, is the kind of fear that's being talked about here, is that we're being controlled by the fear of the unknown, or the worry about the unknown.
Yeah, I think there's something to that when talking about Timothy here and Paul. Is Paul concerned to instruct Timothy to remind him that God is still good through this all, and that God is still caring for Timothy, that God is still holding, even though all of these bad things are happening, God is still his God, right? And he's the sovereign God. He's the good sovereign God for his people, even though bad things are happening, not just all around him, but to him personally, right? And he's encouraging Timothy, listen, you trust the Lord. I know you do, right? You know, it was in your grandmother, it was in your mother, and I'm sure it dwells in you too, right? So you know what? Work that out. How does that work out in this situation? In this situation, it means don't be afraid. Right? Something bad might happen to you. We don't know how Timothy died. At least I don't remember. I don't recall knowing how Timothy died. Maybe he did.
I think the tradition is that he was martyred. I think that is the tradition. But
it's a likely tradition, but we don't know, right?
It's
likely. I mean, many prominent early saints were. And not so prominent. And so he's saying, you know, God didn't give us that spirit of, this is the Holy Spirit, and he's not a spirit of fear. So turn from that and look to God, to the power of God and the love of God and the self-control for your own life here in the midst of these things, and pick up for the work that God has given you in your holy calling of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God has his own purposes in these things, right? God has his own way of working through these things. You've been appointed a preacher. Well, I've been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And that's why I suffer. And you know what? You've been appointed a preacher and a teacher, and that's why you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not ashamed. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed of these things. And so in our context today, we're talking about it in terms of pandemic, we're talking about in terms of unrest in our civil society and the society we live in. But it goes to a lot of different things. The things that we worry about with tomorrow, the unknown, whether or not it's an unknown thing, or whether or not it's where our country's going, whether or not it's of a virus itself. We worry about different things. But the Christian is meant to not allow that to become irrational, not allow that to become uncontrolled, To think through these things well, properly. We are reasonable people for, I mean, that's how God created us. Not to allow us to, ourselves to be, as you said, controlled by it, but instead to be controlled by the Holy Spirit through these things. And that, because the Holy Spirit is of power, love, and self-control.
Yeah,
and
Paul, one of the greatest stories is when he's going to Jerusalem and the prophet has a vision saying, who's ever, I don't know if it was the sash or something, his cloak or something, whoever owns this will be bound when I go to Jerusalem. And it's Paul's.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, you can't go, you can't go. He's like, what do you mean I can't go? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going. And if this is what the Lord has for me, okay.
Yeah.
And that's how all Christians need to be. We could say, well, what are the bad things that could, you know, I could get this virus and die, or I could be walking down the street and be hit by a car. I mean, we can go into those right. what ifs, and some are a little more out there than others, but others, some of them might be actually more possible.
Yeah,
God looks at us and says, yes, these things might happen, but I've given you peace, and I'm in control, and so while it. Sometimes it's hard to accept and feel, but that's still the truth.
It is still the truth. And I want to just qualify what you said with one thing. And in this circumstance, Paul continues on to Jerusalem where he knows this is likely to happen. Right. In other circumstances, he doesn't hesitate to flee and move on from one place to another to escape.
But he's not fleeing something that he's been foretold is going to happen. That's the difference. I mean, he's not – wait, there's times where he'll say – you know, well, we're going to put you in jail. And then they put him in jail and he goes out. He's like, I was a Roman citizen and you did this to me. He's saving himself or he's, which is a fine. But the thing about Jerusalem was he's been told this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And so he was willing to face that. But yeah, no, we don't put ourselves in danger.
Yeah, but even when danger comes, we can actually escape the danger. Yeah,
of course.
That's what I was saying. I mean, you don't necessarily have to sit there and let someone, you know, throw rocks at you. You can walk away if necessary. Right? I'm referring specifically when he was, you know, brought down to the basket outside of the he was being persecuted there, and the saints helped him escape.
Yeah,
right. So we're not always meant to just sort of
and I guess my point was more about yes, these things might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't live our lives in fear.
Absolutely.
That they may happen. We trust in our Lord because he's given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings us peace, love, and self-control.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. We are at reformforum.org. That's where you can find us, and you can find our episodes, back episodes, various even audiobooks that have been done, as well as our series, various series that we have accomplished throughout the years here now. But also at reformforum.org, you get to have the wonderful opportunity of listening to the other podcasts of Reform Forum, Crisis Center and Proclaiming Christ, and where you can learn about upcoming conferences, which, well, the main conference needing to be canceled due to pandemic, but there's been something else that has come up, and that is a lecture series at Mars that's coming up in October, and so you might want to check that out. If you can't make it to it, I think it actually might be full already. Then you can get the information about it online, and you can watch it, I think, online. You know, don't hold me to that. I think that's right. To find out more about the congregation that Rob and I serve, you can check out westminsteropc.org. Or for more congregations in the Chicagoland area, you can go to chicagoreform.org. Rob, what are we doing next time?
Well, next time we move on and talk about patience.
Patience?
Wait for it.
Okay. Thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.